Amen. All right, y'all know where we're at this morning, right? Hebrews chapter 11. What's the main subject of Hebrews 11? Faith. So we are concluding with our series in Hebrews with chapter 11, and we're talking about faith. What is faith? And as we've been saying, the author of Hebrews defines faith by lives. Faith is not just an intellectual belief. It's a life. It's your life, right? And as we talk about the lives of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, today, of course, we're going to talk about Moses, as you can see on the screen. We talk about each one of these people. Each one of their lives represents an aspect of what it means to live by faith, to be a person of faith. And so each week we're challenging ourselves and asking, you know, does my faith reflect this? Am I walking in this aspect of faith in my own life? And so this morning we're going to talk about Moses, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Now you think about Moses, obviously one of the most important people in the Bible. The life of Moses is given a significant amount of attention in the Bible, right? Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There's a lot that we could say about Moses and how he is an example of faith to us. And it's interesting, the author of Hebrews chooses two incidents from Moses' life that I think if you and I had the choice, we wouldn't have thought of. We wouldn't have chosen these aspects from Moses' life. But I hope that you'll see, as I've been seeing over the past week, that as we study these episodes from Moses' life, each of them present powerful lessons of what it means to be a person of faith and to live and to walk by faith, even today, in a society that's totally different from ancient Egypt. And yet, walking by faith still means the same thing for you and for me today. So let's read our text. It's Hebrews 11, verses 23 to 27. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So as I said, the author of Hebrews' treatment of Moses focuses on two aspects. The first is his birth in verse 23. And then the major aspect in verses 24 to 27 is this crucial decision that Moses made as a young man, which changed his life forever. But let's look first at verse 23. And the subject here actually isn't Moses' faith, but the faith of his parents. So it says in verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict." The first heroes of faith in Moses' life were his parents. And it's a great reminder, it's a great picture, one of many in the Bible, of the importance of godly parenting. As parents, we have been given a great privilege, a great responsibility, not just to raise our children, make sure that they're safe and, you know, grow up to be mature adults, but of course also as Christians, we are given the responsibility to raise our children up to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, some people just assume that it's going to automatically happen. You know, I guess maybe somehow by being in a Christian home, my kids are automatically going to become Christians one day. That's not true, is it? Some people think, well, you know, I take my kids to church, so I don't know much about the Bible, but, you know, those ladies at church, they sure do know their Bibles, and they teach my kids. Well, it's true. You know, we have, Krista, Natalie, Michelle, Sherry, Lorraine, probably forgetting a few people. We have many people in our church who are very dedicated to teaching our kids. My kids are in Sunday school right now, and they do a great job. Put a lot of time and energy and creativity into teaching kids the Bible. But I hope we're aware of the fact that as parents, it's my responsibility to raise my kids to know the Lord. I can't just expect the church to do it. I can't just hope that somehow it's going to happen magically, automatically. It has to be an intentional thing that I do. And the thing about Moses' parents that I was thinking about this week is that, you know, Moses' parents lived in a culture that was very hostile to their faith, right? I mean, that's the whole point, right? Pharaoh decreed that because he was afraid of the Israelite minority, they were increasing in number. He was afraid that they would become a threat to national security. He ordered that all male Hebrew babies would be killed immediately upon birth. So you want to talk about a culture that's hostile to the faith. And yet, what the author of Hebrews is pointing out here is that Moses' parents were courageous. They were bold. Bold enough to raise their children to be people of faith in the middle of a culture which was very hostile against it. And it's a good example for you and for me. Our culture is not just becoming secular. Our culture is actually starting to become anti-Christian. If you look at a lot of what's going on. It's not just that people don't claim to be Christians anymore, but there's a lot of hostility against Christianity. And the question for you and for me is, are we going to be bold? Are we going to be courageous like Moses' parents? You know, we're going to talk about Moses' decision here. Later on in his life, he made the decision to no longer be a member of the royal court, but instead to leave the house of Pharaoh and for the rest of his life to suffer with the Hebrew slaves. And ultimately, this was Moses' decision, but we have to give his parents credit. Because who was it that originally taught Moses who he is? It was his parents that taught Moses and said, you know, Moses, you're not an Egyptian, you're a Hebrew. You are to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is his name, Elohim. It was his parents who imparted to Moses this understanding of God and of faith, and later on it affected his life. So the question for us, are we intentionally parenting our kids? Are we bold and courageous enough, even in a culture and a society that discourages us or even is against us for raising them to be Christian? Are we going to stand up for what is right and to raise our children to be men and women of God? But I'd really like to focus our attention this morning where the author focuses. The author focuses in verses 24 through 27 on a crucial decision that Moses made at the age of 40. Stephen tells us in Acts chapter 7 that Moses was 40 years old. And I've included the reference in the bulletin, Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Now, when we read the story in Exodus chapter 2, we think that's kind of weird because, you know, remember the story. Moses went out one day. He saw, like every day, the Egyptians mistreating the Hebrews, right? Beating them, whipping them, whatever, to try to keep them working, right? And one day, Moses is fed up with it, and he makes a crucial decision which changes his life forever. What's that decision? He's going to stand up. He's going to fight against this injustice. He's going to fight against the system that he was raised in under Pharaoh. And I guess maybe Moses had an anger problem. I don't know, but he wound up killing this Egyptian slave master. And, you know, he was afraid, realizing what he had done, and tried to bury him in the sand, make it, you know, to hide it, make it disappear. Well, of course, we know the story that people saw what happened and the word began to spread. And the next day, Moses realized, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of town or else Pharaoh's going to have my head. This is the story that the author of Hebrews is focusing on. And while we look at it and we say, you know, Moses doesn't seem like much of a hero to me. You know, looks like a murderer fleeing from justice. But this was a courageous act by Moses. Even though he went too far, he shouldn't have murdered the Egyptian, but it was a courageous act to choose to suffer with God's people instead of choosing to remain in the house of Pharaoh. So let's read one more time the author's description of this decision of Moses. Verses 24 through 27. It says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The author views this decision of Moses as a picture and example for all of us of discipleship, of what it means to live by faith. Notice the first thing the author says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses' decision began with the choice to refuse, or the word here is deny, to refuse to be part of Pharaoh's household any longer. You know what's interesting is that this word refuse is the same word that Jesus used in one of his most important teachings on discipleship, what it means to be a follower of Christ. In Matthew 16:24, it says, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Now that word in Greek, the language of the New Testament, is the same word as in our text. Isn't it crazy how the Bible is just all woven together? It all fits together. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, the first thing you've got to do is deny yourself. You've got to refuse yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So Moses is a picture for us of what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. For Moses, living by faith began with the decision to refuse, to deny his identity as a member of Pharaoh's household. Now remember, everything that Moses had, everything that he enjoyed all his life, was directly linked to his identity as a member of Pharaoh's household. All the wealth, all the privilege, all the education, all the power and the prestige. I mean, that was the most powerful family on earth at that time. All of it was connected to Moses' identity as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And for Moses, living by faith began, as Jesus says, you got to begin by denying yourself. For Moses, it began by denying, by refusing any longer to be the son of Pharaoh's household. Now, as I look at many of you in this room, many of you have also chosen to deny yourself and to follow Christ. Many of you have experienced what it was like to choose to follow Christ. You've experienced hostility from family members, from friends. Maybe you've experienced persecution. Maybe you even had to leave your home country and come here, immigrate here, because of your choice to follow after the Lord. You know, I'm afraid that Christianity in our modern culture has been watered down so much that it's an easy Christianity. It's a light gospel. It's a no-cost Christianity. Sometimes churches and pastors, you know, out of a good desire, we want to reach people for Christ. But watering down the gospel and offering people a no-cost Christianity in order to get more people through the door is not the right way to do it. We cannot forget or ignore or neglect Jesus' central teachings on what it means to be a disciple. This is the way that Jesus defines what it means to follow him. It begins with denying yourself. There's a lot of people who want to be Christians and hold on to everything that they have in the world. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, it begins by denying yourself and taking up your cross. What's a cross? It's not a nice piece of jewelry around your neck. What's a cross? It's an electric chair. It's a guillotine. It's an instrument of death. Jesus is saying that following me means dying to yourself. Paul later on will say, no longer I live, but Christ lives through me. I died with Christ at baptism. That's what we're celebrating today. I die, and no longer I live, but now Christ in me. So have you made a decision to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow after Jesus Christ? The second thing that the author of Hebrews says is not only what Moses, he refused to be part of Pharaoh's household, and he chose to suffer with God's people. So let's read verses 25 and 26 again. It says, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And I'll read verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses made a choice to deny himself, and for that meant losing everything. You see, for Moses, living by faith cost him everything. All the wealth and the privilege and the power that he had enjoyed, choosing to live by faith, forced him to actually deny everything, to lose everything. It cost him everything. And instead, Moses makes the decision to be mistreated, to suffer with the people of God. Now, when we look at that, you know, the average person looking at that would say, what an idiot. What a fool. Why would he do that? Why would he give up all the wealth, all the privilege, all the power, everything that everybody in this world spends their whole life trying to get? Moses had it. Why would he give it up to suffer with God's people? The author says that rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, Moses recognized that this world, its power and its pleasure, its prestige, its popularity, what's another P? All that this world has to offer is temporary. It's fleeting. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Instead, it says that he was looking to the reward. That reminds me of Hebrews 11:6. You remember Hebrews 11:6? It says it's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Moses recognized that the pleasures of this world, the rewards of this world, are only temporary. They're fleeting. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. But the rewards of living by faith, of seeking after God, are eternal. And no one can take that from you. And again, this is a great picture of what Jesus taught us. Let's look at the rest of Jesus' teaching here. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let's look at verse 25. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Don't you just love how Jesus makes these paradoxical statements that seem so simple and yet they're so profound? Jesus says, if you're trying to gain life in this world, that's what everybody's trying to do. We're all in a rat race, right? And that's what our culture says, you know. Do everything you can to find yourself and to become famous and to become you and do you, right? Your best life now. And Jesus says, if that's the way you live this life, you're going to lose it. But if you choose to lose your life for my sake, if you give your life to me, Jesus, I surrender. You can have it all. Take my life. Take me. Jesus says, then you're going to find it. That's the paradox of life. Verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. What Jesus is trying to do here is he's trying to say, listen, if you're my disciple, you have to have an eternal perspective. You can't just look at this life, you can't just look at life on this earth as if that's it. You've got to understand there's a judgment coming. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is eternity. Living as a disciple of Jesus in this world means living according to an eternal perspective, giving up that temporal perspective and living for what really matters. And again, I'm reminded of Kenneth Boa. I've talked about Kenneth Boa's book a few times. If you want to order it or read it, I'd encourage it. Man, it's dense, but it really is powerful. It changed my life about 12 years ago or so, reading through it. But Boa, his book is called Conformed to His Image. It's a book on spiritual formation, which means being a disciple, growing spiritually. And one of the things that Boa talks about is our paradigm, and our paradigm is our worldview. It's the lens, the glasses through which we look at life. You know, the questions of where do I come from, where am I going, why am I here? It's our worldview, our perspective of life. And Boa talks about two foundational paradigms or worldviews, perspectives that people in the world have today. Most people live according to the temporal paradigm. Pleasure, recognition, popularity, wealth, status, power. That's what our culture tells us is really what's worth pursuing after, and that's what most people are really living their life trying to achieve. Jesus, as we saw in his teaching, and Moses here is a picture of the eternal paradigm. And this is what Jesus is challenging us as his followers to live our lives according to. Instead of pleasure, knowing God, seeking his approval, is number one on our priorities list. Instead of trying to, you know, step over other people's heads in order to get to the top, we are humbling ourselves and seeking to be servants of others. Our goal is not to be wealthy and powerful, but to be people of integrity, people of character. You see, the point here is that as Christians, it's not just about believing in Jesus, not just about going to church. The challenge is for you and me to change our entire perspective of the way we live our lives. There's a lot of Christians who try to live the Christian life, but really they have a temporal paradigm, a temporal perspective. And it's no wonder that they're miserable. No wonder that it doesn't work. No wonder that they get tired of it. It doesn't work to try to be a Christian and to live according to the mindset of this world. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So has your mind been renewed? And of course, this is not just something that you can decide on a Sunday and live forever after, right? We're all in the process of growing, right? We're all in the process of trying to leave the temporal behind, denying the temporal, and following after the eternal, more and more allowing our mind to be renewed day by day as we seek the Lord, as we fellowship with him and with one another. We're all trying to grow in the eternal perspective. And what Boa talks about is the result. You know, that's the irony of it all. This world promises us everything. And yet, when you get to the end of it, if you achieve it, then you realize that it's empty. And I know that many of you sitting here are here because you tried and you came up empty. And you know that the promises of this world, the pleasures of this world, those who give their lives trying to pursue after them, you're going to wind up empty. It's a delusion. You know, it's the carrot at the end of the stick, right? You spend your whole life trying to get to it and you never get to it. Or you finally grab that carrot, you take a bite and you realize it's rotten, it's gross. It wasn't what people made it out to be. It's delusion. You know, Solomon, that's the first sentence of Ecclesiastes, right? Read Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is the American dream. Hey, I've made it. I'm successful. And the first sentence is what? Vanity of vanities, which also can be emptiness of emptinesses. Everything is empty. Everything is vain. It's all a grasping for the wind. You know, have you ever tried to grasp for the wind, to try to catch the wind? You know, it's vain. It's useless. There's no such thing. That's what Ecclesiastes says is the wealth and the power and the pleasures of this world. It's like trying to catch the wind. It's empty. And the irony of the eternal paradigm is that although people look at it and they say, you're a fool. You're an idiot. Why are you doing this? Why are you living this way? That's stupid. Well, according to the temporal paradigm, it is stupid. But you see, according to the eternal perspective, it is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And, you know, what we find is that when we live for the eternal, when we renew our minds and live according to the eternal perspective, we're not empty, but we're full. It's funny. It's the same thing Jesus said, right? If you try to gain life on your own without me, you'll lose it. You won't find it. You'll wind up empty and deluded. But if you lose your life for my sake, if you give your life to me, you will find it. Isn't it amazing that it's when we give everything up to God that we actually find life? That's the irony of history. And it's reality and it's wisdom. And so the question for you and for me is, what paradigm are you trying to live your life according to? I can bet that if you're a Christian that's living according to the temporal paradigm of this world, you're not happy. You're miserable because you've got one foot in the world and one foot with God. Choose to lose your life for him. Give him your life and you'll finally find that fulfillment, that you've been longing for. It's not something you can get for yourself. It's only something that God will give you when you give your life for him. You know, there's one of our faith heroes, modern American Christianity, one of our faith heroes is a man by the name of Jim Elliot. Raise your hand if you know who Jim Elliot is. A few people. Oh, come on. More than that, I hope. Jim Elliot, right? How many of you have read Gates of Splendor or The End of the Spear? April, have we done that for movie night yet? Oh, come on. That's the next one. End of the Spear. Jim Elliot, got to have a movie night. Let's watch it together. Great book, great movie. But, you know, Jim Elliot was, as a young man, very committed, committed Christian, and God called him to be a missionary. So, and he wanted to go really to a people that was unreached with the gospel, right? And so he winds up in Ecuador, going to an Indian tribe named Alca, the Alca Indians. And again, these people were totally unreached with the gospel, had no concept of Jesus whatsoever. And they were also known as being fierce, hostile. And Jim Elliot went there with his wife and his kids and with four other families, four other young men, all in their 20s, to reach this Indian tribe for Jesus. And if you know the story, you know that tragically, January 1956, there was a miscommunication. The Indians thought that they were, hostile against them, and so they attacked and they killed all five of these men in one day. Can you imagine what it would be like for five young wives with your baby children, raising them up, and they all get the message at once? All of your husbands, they're all dead. And it's not a sad story. That's the low point, but the movie shows and the book talks about how many of the wives, including Elizabeth Elliot, who, you know, is a hero. I think she passed away a couple years ago, but she wrote several books and wonderful speaker and teacher, a woman of God. She stayed, and some of the family stayed, and they continued to minister to this Indian tribe. Can you imagine? Your husband's been murdered by these people, and you're going to them and sharing Christ with them anyways. And the amazing thing is that the majority of the tribe came to faith in Christ. Even today, most of them are walking with the Lord. And Jim Elliot said this. This is, maybe you've heard this quote. It's the most famous quote associated with him. He says, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And really, Elliot is just reworking what Jesus said. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. I'll read it again. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." You know, people today would look at that and they would say, man, what idiots. They wasted their life. They didn't have to go there. They didn't have to try to reach those people. They didn't have to die. What a waste. What foolish thinking. But you know, the Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen? And Jesus says in John 12, something basically the same thing. In Matthew 16, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Jesus says, unless the grain of wheat dies, falls into the earth and dies, it cannot bear fruit. And in God's eyes, he sees these precious saints, these sons, as heroes, as seeds that were planted. And today we are seeing the fruits that have emerged. And so the question for you and for me is, you know, what paradigm are you living according to? Do you simply believe in Jesus? Or are you allowing your mind to be renewed? Is your perspective of the world, your perspective of life, changing from leaving the temporal behind and embracing the eternal perspective, the eternal paradigm of life? And the question for you and for me is, You know, I don't think that it's God's will for everybody, for every one of us here to be, you know, killed as missionaries somewhere, somewhere, you know, South America or somewhere in Asia or something. I don't think that's God's will for every one of us. But the question is, what does it look like for you to die to yourself, even today? You know, for Stephanie, it means to take the next step and get baptized. That's her way of dying to herself today and following after Jesus, being raised to life again. What does it mean for you? Because as I said, it's not just something that we do make a decision at some point in our lives to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. And yet, as you know, in Luke, the statement is, whoever wants to follow me must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So it's not just a one-time decision, right? But it's a daily growth, daily choosing to renew our minds, to deny ourselves and to grow. What does it mean for you today to deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow after him? So in conclusion this morning, we've talked about the faith of Moses. Kids are coming back in. We talked about the faith of Moses. We talked, first of all, about the faith of Moses' parents. And it's a great example of Christian parenting. And yes, our church offers a great children's ministry to teach your kids, but ultimately it's your responsibility, and it's not going to happen automatically. It has to be intentional, especially in our modern, in our culture, in our society. If you're not intentionally discipling your children, chances are they're not going to choose to follow Christ later on. Are you being bold and courageous in a culture which is becoming increasingly hostile to the gospel? Are you standing up and being bold and courageous and choosing to raise your children up in the Lord anyways? And what we really focused on this morning is this choice of Moses to refuse to be part of Pharaoh's household anymore and instead to spend his life suffering with the people of God. And anybody looking at that in his time, anybody looking at that today would say, man, what an idiot, what a fool. But you know, the Bible says that the wisdom of God is foolishness in the eyes of the world. The Bible says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is what? It is the wisdom, it is the power of God. And it all goes back to that paradigm. Which paradigm are you living according to? The temporal perspective or the eternal? What does it mean for you today? It's not just about one time choosing to die to yourself and follow him, but as it says in Luke, whoever wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. What does it mean for you to deny yourself and take up your cross? And by the way, speaking of Hawaii, because maybe you're thinking, you know, hey, John, that looks pretty good for you, you know, going to Hawaii, dying to yourself. You know, first of all, I'm going there because it's our conference, but you know what's cool is that when you choose to live according to the eternal paradigm, you can enjoy the temporal. You can enjoy the things of this world. You can truly enjoy them. Do you understand what I mean? Because people in this world, they're treating the temporal things as if they're eternal. They're trying to squeeze out of relationships and things, material things. They're trying to squeeze eternal pleasure and eternal meaning out of the temporal things of this world. You know what I'm talking about. And it's no wonder they're unhappy. You see, as Christians, we actually, being a Christian allows us, it's the only way for us to actually, because we have things in its proper place. We've put the eternal in the eternal, and therefore we can enjoy. We can enjoy the pleasures of this world, but we know that they're passing. We understand that. So we enjoy it for what it is. We enjoy it as God's gift to us. But we find our ultimate fulfillment, our ultimate meaning, our ultimate wisdom and truth in what is eternal. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for your words. Your words are true. They're so challenging. It's ironic to think that no one ever challenged us more in this world, and yet no one has more people following him throughout history than you, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's true. Living by faith means denying this world, and things are not what they appear to be. The ultimate reality and truth and wisdom is not what is seen with the eyes, because the pleasures of this world and the power and the riches and the wealth of this world, that's not where it's at. And those who choose to follow after them will end up empty and deluded. But the invisible God, the things that we cannot see with our eyes, the Word of God, those things which the world despises and calls foolish, that's what gives us ultimate meaning and life. Ultimately, Lord, what you said is that if we try to find life on our own in this world, we're going to lose it. But if we lose our lives in this world for your sake, we shall find it. If you're here this morning and you do not know that you know that Jesus is your Lord, and as we've been talking about this morning, maybe you believe in Jesus, but you've never made a decision to deny yourself and truly follow after him. Maybe it's just kind of some belief that's somewhere in the back of your head, but you've never actually made a serious commitment to him. Today is the day of salvation. We're going to celebrate here Stephanie's serious commitment. And no, she's not a perfect person, but she's made a decision to follow after the Lord. And the question is, if you are here and you don't know that you have made this such a commitment to deny yourself, take up your cross, and to follow after him, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. It begins by simply praying and asking the Lord Jesus, you know, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and come into my life. Lord, from now on, I want to live with you. I want to live for you. Come, be my Lord and my Savior. I want to follow after you. And the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so, you know, after baptism and after we sing a closing song, we're going to have people here at the front. If you don't know that you have committed your life to Christ this morning, I pray that you would take time to do so. Invite Jesus into your life. Choose to follow him. Choose to adopt a whole new paradigm, a whole new way of looking at life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come to give us life and life more abundant. In your name, amen.